By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. Today on the Conscious Fertility Podcast, we have Dr. Tamea Bellirac, and she's got her practice in Toronto, and I'm really excited to have this conversation. I first met Dr. Bellirac back in Vancouver at the Integrated Fertility Symposium, and I got to share with you a little bit about her background. Okay, first, we'll go from the very dense left side to the right etheric side. She's a medical doctor. She is an OBGYN. She is a reproductive endocrinologist. She's also trained in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. She's a master NLP coach. She's trained in master timeline therapy. She's also a board-certified hypnosis and instructor of hypnotherapy. And she's had her own experience through fertility. And so this is why I think our listeners, Tamea, are going to be really excited to talk to you, because you really have the spectrum of mind and body going on here with your background. And I'd love to hear about how you're practicing and incorporating this into your practice. So welcome to the Conscious Fertility Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And also, you know what I didn't mention, you're also certified in functional medicine and bioidentical hormone therapy as well. So you got the MD side of you. You're basically like a naturopathic physician now with your functional medicine training. And then we have that same Z's. I'm trained in NLP and hypnotherapy as well. So it's just really neat to see all this in one individual, though. When people come to my clinic, they see, we work as a team, so they see multiple people doing what you are doing as one individual. So very cool.
Well, actually, I also work with other individuals. I focus my practice on the medical aspect of things. I've attempted to incorporate the other ones. Unfortunately, our college can make it a little tricky for a physician to do all these other modalities. And so I've joined forces with other practitioners, and we work together to help our patients.
So can you tell us about who is your, because I think you're interested in acupuncture recommended as well. I didn't mention that in your bio. I know you're not trained in it, but it's part of your integrated practice. How about we start with kind of how do you practice, like, and who's on your team? And then your wish list from all that you know from your training as a medical doctor, OBGYN, REI, doing IVF, training hypnosis and other mind-body tools and functional medicine and working. If money and time wasn't an issue, I'm curious, what would you have liked for your fertility journey? And if you're open to sharing it, that would be great. And what do you want for your patient's fertility journey?
So our fertility journey was very medical in the sense that we started trying, obviously, for the 1 year, the usual roller coaster every month, the tears, the not pregnant, the sex becoming just kind of like for trying to get pregnant, and very mundane, as all of our patients tell us. And then we went to see a physician. We started with some Clomid and IUIs, and that did not work. So then we went to a specialist who also started me with an IUI cycle where I went on the injections. The interesting found was that I kind of just did what I was told. I didn't Google, I didn't search anything. I just kind of, maybe I was, because I was busy, I was studying for my board exams. I was the chief resident at Mount Sinai Hospital. I was running to my blood work and ultrasounds. I was there before 6 a.m., you know, sitting on the floor in the first come, first serve line, then running to the operating room. My residents were rounding on the patients. And through all this, I was trying to get pregnant. And so one day the nurse just called me and she said, well, you have too many follicles. We cannot do the IUI. Dr. Redmond recommends we convert to IVF. She's like, go home, inject this Orgalutran, and we'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, however, I didn't question it. I trusted my doctor. I'm like, I'm going to the doctor because that's her expertise, right? You go to your accountant because it's their expertise. And so I didn't question anything. I showed up for my retrieval. Now, in those days, mind you, there was no Versed, no fentanyl. It was laughing gas and morphine and Demerol. So I felt everything. My ovary was like up to the ceiling, and I'm like, give me the laughing gas.
Oh, God. So the medicines have come a long way since you had your retrieval.
Absolutely. Absolutely. However, speaking of medicines, hypnosis is just as effective for pain control, including during childbirth, right? And I wish we were using it more. They've done surgeries under hypnosis. They've done many, many types of treatments under hypnosis. Nevertheless, I did not have it at the time. So then we, I think we had only about 8 eggs and 6 fertilized, and only we had 2 blastocysts that we transferred on Easter Sunday. Oh my gosh.
So this is interesting for our listeners because this will come out later, but we're recording this on Good Friday, 2023. And so
I had my transfer on Easter Sunday. The interesting part was that my husband and I, we had a conversation before, you know, and we're like, okay, so if it works, fantastic. However, if it doesn't work, we weren't comfortable adopting. And so what I was going to do is focus my energy more on volunteer work or helping, more women with their fertility journeys and kind of focus my attention elsewhere if the transfer didn't work. And then my pregnancy test was going to be on the Monday, like 2 weeks later. But of course, on Sunday, I went to Shoppers and got my home pregnancy test. And luckily, we were able to have I'm only one embryo implanted. And so my daughter is now 18 years old.
Wow. And at that point, you weren't a physician yourself. You were, or were you a physician? You said you were ahead of Mount Sinai, I think.
Yeah, I was I was doing my exams for obstetrics and gynecology. I was studying for the exam. So it was this was in April and my exam was in May. So I was pregnant when we went to Ottawa.
So you weren't doing reproductive medicine really at this time?
No, but I already, no, you know what? Hold on. Oh, that's a good question. No, she was born 2004. No. So I had already decided that I'm going to do fertility. So that was another interesting part of my journey is that I had already done I had done 4 years of medical school. Then I did a master's. No, sorry, 4 years undergrad. Then I did my master's. Then I did the 4 years of medical school, 5 years of the obstetrics and gynecology residency. So now we're 15 years in.
Right.
And then in our fourth year, we do a rotation in infertility. And so there I learned that I could help create the babies that I was wanting to deliver. And that's what made me go into obstetrics and gynecology. I decided that in grade 10, mind you, I have no idea how, but I think I was put on this earth to work on this fertility journey, not only for myself, but for my patients. And then my husband's like, he's like, are you crazy? He's like, you have to start working one of these days. He's like, you've already been in university for 15 years. And so I'm driving home. This was like the day that the application was due. So I did not hand it in that day, but I'm driving home and I gone home and I'm like, I have to do this. Like it's just, it's not letting me, my mind's not letting it go. So I went home, I wrote up the application, I handed it in the next day and I got in.
And because of your experience, when you went through the IVF, well, fortunately the medicines are much better for pain control, but as you said, there's other modalities that they use to support you during that process. But you had mentioned how you're doing a medicated IUI. You responded very well because they converted you to an IVF. And for our listeners, you know, they don't want you to have 4, 5, 6 babies like in one uterus. So sometimes if you respond that way, they converted you. But there was no discussion. It was just kind of like, as you said, if for them, it was like they do this all the time. So it made sense, but you didn't understand. So it was a little foreign and uncomfortable for you just to be told, here's what we're doing now without the explanation. How are you practicing and how are you integrating and how would you want now, and as we're recording this in 2023, because you're aware of all the different modalities, there's the West and then there's the East and there's hypnosis and functional medicine, naturopathy. What's your wish list for your patients? And if you could share with them, what would you kind of be suggesting a way to approach their fertility journey?
Ideally, it would be kind of at least a 3 to 6 month program leading up to whatever we decide to do.
Can I ask you, right? Yeah. So I'm going to interrupt and ask questions. So why? a 3 to 6 month preconception time before they try to conceive naturally or do Western things like IUIs or IVF?
So the life cycle, the development of an egg, well, for sperm, it's three months usually for a sperm to develop and mature. However, for an egg, depending on what study you read that I've read anyways, is anywhere from 3 to 6 months in terms of the egg development as well. And so in terms of lifestyle interventions, dietary changes, stress management, all of those things could be implemented in that time frame. And then the other, and I would implement the naturopathic aspect as well as the acupuncture. And again, what I say to my patients is if they enjoy the acupuncture, continue it. However, some patients do not enjoy acupuncture. And so to me, if you don't enjoy it, then I'm not sure how much, you know, how beneficial it could be.
Agreed. Because some people have that needle phobia and don't relax on the table. It does have that research shown to induce the relaxed state, but everybody is unique. In our practice, we have the lasers as well. So for those people that find the acupuncture uncomfortable, what we've been doing and seeing it clinically and anecdotally anyhow, seeing that benefit is we're doing laser acupuncture with TEAS, translucence electrical acupuncture. I can't remember what it stands for. I'll have to look it up in my head here. But basically, we use the TENS pad over some of the acupuncture points in the sacrum, the abdomen, and down by the ankles, which we know will increase blood flow to the reproductive system. So we're doing that. Plus, we're doing laser acupuncture. And we've only started doing this in early 2023 with the TENS. And one is they enjoy it. And two is we're seeing some cool things when they go through their IVF process. So there's always a way. But I agree with you. If you're not enjoying the treatment, then there's so many things available to you that it's not like you have to do this and have to do this, have to do this. It's mm-hmm. The goal is blood flow and relaxed state and supplementing those deficiencies. So your 3 to 6 month of preconception care, you mentioned like there's lifestyle factors and diet. So as a reproductive endocrinologist, that is something that you think is still important for improving or optimizing egg and sperm quality?
Yes, absolutely. There's evidence for certain supplements. There's also, in terms of a lot of patients ask about the diet, like the fertility diet. Again, I'm not aware of any specific diet based on the studies. However, they maintain that the Mediterranean style diet seems to do well based on the nurses' health study, essentially, where they followed the nurses for a number of many years. And the ones that did not experience fertility challenges, more of them were on a Mediterranean type diet. So what I'd like our patients to use this time for is kind of what I might say is like a wake up call. It's like, we are going through something that we did not expect. And why don't we take this opportunity to reflect upon our life, take a pause. How are we doing? Are we super stressed? Are we like coming home and there's no time to even prepare a good meal? Are we sleeping enough? Are we not? Are we having fun together enough? Are we exercising enough? Are we working too much? So to me, it's a time to reflect upon those things and improve them. And then the other part I would really like every patient to do is what's called in NLP a breakthrough. So basically to take some time to reflect upon yourself internally and mentally and see if there's ways or certain limiting beliefs or limiting decisions that you may or may not be aware of consciously that may also be contributing to the situation.
And so I got a bunch of questions for you now. And so for our listeners, it's nice because we have a reproductive endocrinologist, MD, OBGYN, and we're going to talk about the mind-body stuff now. So this is great. Versus somebody who's a hypnotherapist saying, of course, yes, you get to wear your 2-3 hats that you wear or trained in at least. Mm-hmm. So this is the Conscious Fertility Podcast. And one of the reasons why I wanted to offer this is because I believe that your thoughts and feelings affect your physical. So, and there's whole research on psychoneuroimmunology on this, that, and we know this, people know they can think about something and all of a sudden their hands start to sweat and their heart starts to palpate. You see a stick on the road, but your mind thinks it's a snake. You go into that fight or flight, right? So it is all based on perception, not always what is. And so I'm just checking in with you that you're talking about making time for yourself, these breakthroughs and fertility as your wake up call. Right? Many people have wake-up calls. Some have cancer, some have divorce, some have financial disaster, some live in war-torn countries, there's many wake-up calls, and fertility is one wake-up call, all bringing us back to ourselves where we do our inner work. So you did say, I got the nod that you agree that there's a mind-body impact to your thoughts and feelings affect your body.
Yes.
And then you're looking at this then as an opportunity for people to heal old wounds. You talked about these unconscious programs. So they're unconscious, so they're not always aware of them. But even when you become conscious of them, they still run. because that's how they are. And so you find this as an opportunity and for the men and women you see to go in and work, clean up, integrate, metabolize these old programs that are no longer serving them.
Exactly. Exactly. The difficulty I'm finding with that though, Lauren, is that it is not a service that's covered by OHIP. And so financially, I find that that seems to be the stumbling block or the impediment for them to do that work.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I always think of, okay, if we take, so yes, time and money are issues in our world. And yet when people want something, they find a way, right? It's just interesting. And so it's, again, not that it, we always find a way. And I have patients, I don't know what people's bank accounts look like, right? But there are some people that find a way to make it work and there's some that don't. And so we can always find reasons not to do something. In this day and age, there's so many apps and programs online that are, they're not cost prohibitive that people can do. So there are lots of things out there. And but I agree, IVF is one thing that's cost prohibitive for people going for acupuncture. But we can always find a reason why not to do something. Like for me, books, I feel that all these people that have written such great books, I read probably average every 10 days a book because I listen to them when I drive and walk and stuff. And so, and my books are all about health and mind-body stuff.
The other aspect, I think, is that our healthcare system propagates medical and only the medical treatment as opposed to preventive and complementary. So I believe that our patients are also not aware of the magnitude that the mind has in our health and well-being.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not talked about at all in medical school, for example, at least when I went, and in the general healthcare system.
And here we are talking about it. So I'm a fan of not fighting with reality. I love Byron Katie's book, Loving What Is. Yes. And when you fight with reality, you suffer. So it's never the situation that causes issues. It's what you think about it. So the medical system could be so much better. Absolutely. And here we are on a podcast. So somebody's listened to this. They've already been drawn and they're open to knowing what's more out there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to focus on what you can do versus what needs to be fixed, because I don't think I'm going to be able to fix the medical system.
That was interesting, because then the other program that I learned about through my NLP training was Dr. Lisa Rankin, who wrote So she used to be an OBGYN and she quit because of learning about these other systems as well. And she wrote, one of the first books she wrote was Mind Over Medicine, Scientific Proof That You Can Heal Yourself.
Excellent book.
And so that has what's called the whole health cairn. So it's a bunch of stones, and our physical well-being is the top stone. And there's like about 10 or 11 other stones prior to that that you need to address in order to have perfect physical well-being.
I think, and again, don't know, there's got to be more research on this, but it's the mind that's key. Now, I'm a fan of everything, right? Integration. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like, don't use this, don't use that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just find that when your programs are aligned with your what you want, then things start to fall more into place. And when you're doing these mind-body tools, learning, all of them seem to have some way of creating more awareness, right? More mindfulness in your life. And there's many tools out there. This is what I do in my practice. I call it conscious work. And this is this idea, as we're talking about here, is if your thoughts and feelings are aligned for what you want, then you get a better physical response. Let me say this a different way. When you're fighting with reality, you're creating resistance. We call it qi stagnation in Chinese medicine, right? And in Chinese medicine, they say when the qi does not flow, qi, we can use a loose term, energy, then we have discomfort and disease manifests. And in an electrical system, when there's resistance, the electricity doesn't run well. And if you lower the resistance, the energy runs well. We are electrical, magnetic, chemical beings. And so when we have resistance, and I'm talking now your emotional resistance. You'll know when you have resistance, it doesn't feel good. We call it stress. And when you lower resistance, and this is what with your NLP, hypnosis, mind body work, when you lower the resistance, your energy flows. And you know it because you feel lighter, you feel relief, you feel expansive. And this is what we're looking for in the body side, because fertility requires receptivity and allowing. And so it's a balance, and I call it conscious work, because it takes work to become mindful, to become aware, and to practice these tools so you're not at the effect of your external environment, including your diagnosis of infertility or including an IVF cycle going not the way you wanted to do it. And it's not about positive thinking, I'm always feeling good. It's actually Michael Brown, who wrote the book, The Presence Process, this quote he had. I don't know if you haven't read his book, I think, man, you'll love his book. And for my listeners, The Presence Process by Michael Brown, his quote is, rather than trying to feel better, get better at feeling. So conscious work, in my mind, and this is a question for you, is about being authentic. It's not like, oh, life is great, I love everybody. It is about being authentic and really experiencing your feelings and using tools to metabolize and transform them. So yes, you move through them and you're not holding on to them. And then you start to experience your true self, which is more about joy and love and expansion. This has been my experience. I have moments of these here and there, and I'm working at having more of them. So it's become a fun journey. And this is what I share with my patients. With the fertility journey.
Go ahead. I was just going to interject and say that, like in NLP, pain, for example, stands for pay attention in the now.
It's all about in the now. So my conscious work, I call it, is how to now, basically, is what we're doing with my approach. This is what, you know, Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, like I could list all the authors, and it's all about awareness in the moment. And I think what's happening, listening to the people I speak to, like yourself and on this podcast, is when you really get into this now, you tap into your higher self, you're tapping into something pretty wild, this subconscious, superconscious consciousness. But people seem to have some interesting experiences, some that we would call miracles from our medical system.
And I find that when I learned the NLP, I mean, it gave me a completely different outlook on life. It completely changed my awareness and how I felt about things, and realizing that you can't control situations, but you can control your response to a situation.
Absolutely. Let's emphasize that. Yeah, I got to say that again. You're not going to control. So I'd love you to repeat that part, because that is a big part of conscious work and what we're talking about here.
You cannot control every situation, but you can always control your reaction to the situation.
So this is about emotional resilience. And I'm going to summarize a quote with Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl, he's the psychiatrist that survived Auschwitz. In his quote, it goes something like, in every situation, there is a moment, a space, where you either unconsciously react habitually. So there's your unconscious program. Or in that moment, you can consciously choose to respond. And that's what you're talking about. You can't control the situation, but in that situation, you're either going to go unconscious and run your old program. Or with these tools, you can develop ways to consciously choose how you want to be and respond to that situation.
Exactly. And so when I put together the book, after about practicing for 10 years, I realized that it would be good to share with our patients all the different ways that they can achieve pregnancy. And so the book that I put together is called Embrace Your Fertility. And in there, it's now 9 chapters. We added a frequently asked question chapter. And essentially, every chapter is preceded by a patient story who conceived with that specific modality. So there's a chapter on acupuncture and Eastern medicine. There's a chapter on naturopathy. There's a chapter on mind-body awareness. There's a chapter about counseling. There's a story about a couple who did not conceive, but yet felt like a family regardless. There's the medical chapter, donor sperm, egg donation, adoption as well. Because sometimes when you start on the journey, you think you might not want to do certain things. However, as the journey unfolds, I found that it would be good to know all the different options that are out there for patients.
So again, that book is called Embrace Your Fertility. And can they find it off of your website? It's on Amazon as well, right?
It is on Amazon, like in Canada, as well as in .com. And also there's, when you go to our website, femwellness.ca, then there's a pop-up and you can click
the books
on that
there as well. All right. Well, I want to go back into your dream way of treating. If you could change the medical system and everybody had access to everything, because that's all. Let's start with that, and then we'll work out on how to get everybody access to everything. Preconception. So spending time to get your house in order. So you're talking about diet, lifestyle, I'm assuming sleep, exercise, rest, meditation, the mind-body stuff. So really doing all the things that you can do that you're doing anyhow, eating, moving, moving your body, and giving some time during the follicular genesis or the time for sperm to develop and mature. So 3 to 6 months on average. And again, it's unique to each individual, but there's an average. You're also trained in functional medicine. So I'm curious about your testing for fertility. In our practice, we like the regular fertility workup. And then our naturopathic physicians often do a deeper dive and do more screening. Do you find that you're just doing the regular, you know, blood tests, ultrasound, or are you doing more screening from a functional medicine practice now that you've trained in that as well?
So again, I partnered with someone trained in functional medicine. Again, in Ontario, our college is, unfortunately, I have not surmounted that hurdle yet. It's very cumbersome. They make it very cumbersome for medical physician to practice any of these other modalities.
So we get the sense here in Canada, anyhow, that you're put into a little bit of a box. And even though you have training and tools of ways to help people heal, you're restricted. So let me ask it a different way. In your practice, who are you referring to? And do you want your patients to do that functional medicine testing? Like, again, because you're special because you're trained in everything. So for our listeners, most of the people will have an IVF doctor in their on their team. They may have a Chinese medicine doctor, a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine doctor, a mind-body hypnosis doctor, nutritionist. And some of those people may be one and the same as in their trained in modalities. But looking at your website and knowing you from meeting you at the Integrated Fertility Symposium, I know you're kind of using all those. And I'm curious, are you using that? Or no, I'm happy with just my regular fertility workup. Or do you have them do a deeper dive with their naturopathic or functional medicine practitioner?
If we're not having success, or if we're hitting kind of blocks along the journey, then yes, then I would refer them to one of the functional medicine practitioners that I work with. Or if they have conditions, other chronic conditions along with their fertility, then those would be situations where, yes, where I would then suggest.
And do you find in this day and age, I just know from our clinic seeing what they test, so I'm curious what you're seeing. We see a lot of people with gut health issues, so we do a lot of microbiome testing, SIBO testing, H. pylori testing. We see a lot of burnout and stress, so sometimes looking at the adrenals. And just curious in your practice, and just autoimmune-like conditions where people don't show up with autoimmune diseases, but their symptoms are very autoimmune-like. Do you see that in your practice in Ontario as well, by the way? Are you seeing people like that?
You know, honestly, Lauren, in my practice, not very many, but I think you have a different practice because I think they gravitate to you.
We see the difficult cases because they've come to the IVF clinic and it didn't work.
Exactly. Whereas so far, I mean, I have a small handful of those types of cases. Luckily, we have success with most of our patients otherwise.
Great. Good to hear that you get those cases.
You're like, whoa.
Well, you know, on our side, it's nice too, though, because we always want the baby. We can't promise the baby, right? However, it's nice to know that majority of people we see, their bloating and constipation or diarrhea is going to go away, their skin issues, their headaches, their chronic fatigue, those things, we feel menstrual pain, those things we feel pretty confident that in the 3 month period, we're going to see some usually significant improvement in those areas if they're doing the diet, lifestyle, mind, body supplements, the things that we do in our practice, which is great, right? Because you get to, nobody comes through an IVF that doesn't work and says, I'm glad I did it, right? But we have people that we weren't able to help have a baby, but they're like, I'm glad I did this because now I have a better physical and mental quality of life. So it's rewarding, right?
Exactly. It's where that is my other wish, is that to come through this journey and come out better, regardless of the outcome, because you have taken the time to improve all of these other areas in your life as well.
Tell us a little bit more about, like, because it's the Conscious Fertility Podcast, I'm just more curious on your mind-body approach and what you've seen with men and women going to see the hypnotherapist that you refer to or the mind-body therapist. I'm curious what you're noticing in their lives and in your treatments. Do you see a difference in your IVF treatments, just outcomes and then their experience for people that are doing this kind of preconception care on the physical and mental level?
So the approach that the practitioners, the NLP practitioners would take would be what's called a couples breakthrough, in the sense that it's here we have not one individual that has an issue. It's now two individuals that have an issue that have a relationship. So what they do is they see the couple first together, mm-hmm. then they see each partner separate, and then they see them together again, because each of us are quite different. And so sometimes, again, it's that the alignment is not there that needs to be tweaked in the couple and in the relationship. And maybe by doing that, then the outcome kind of comes faster, for example.
I was going to say, and why do you think, like, I always use the word believe, think, or versus know. Know is like we got really good data, right? And think and believe is speculation. And I have to say, in medicine, you practice it. When I talk to researchers and doctors, at the end of the day, when you ask, if you ask why a couple of times, why, at the end of the day, we don't know, right? Like, when you keep distilling it down, I think there's this my body and this consciousness idea that's happening here that's beyond the Newtonian 3D level. But I'm curious, why do you think you see a difference for the people that do these breakthrough sessions when they do it as couples and individuals?
It's about belief. I have patients who, like, we do the, on the day of the IUI, they're already telling me, they're like, well, I don't think this is going to work. I'm like, you're right. Because you're telling your body mentally that it is not going to work. So we need to think in the positive. So our unconscious doesn't process negative. So if I tell you, don't think of a blue tree now, you're thinking of a blue tree. It doesn't process the don't part. So in terms of goals and in terms of where we're going, what I tell my patients is we need to focus on the positive. You cannot be thinking, I don't want to come for my cycle monitoring because it's at 6 a.m. in the morning, or I don't want to be in this office, or I don't want to be infertile. We need to change the thinking process to, I want to do this because I am here to have my baby. And this treatment is going to work. So we need to reframe how they're thinking about the process and the journey. And by now I can tell you pretty much which patients will and will not have a positive outcome, just by how they speak and what they say to me.
You know, I have this saying, where the mind goes, the chi follows. What you focus on becomes your reality. So you're sharing here, when you say positive thinking, you're talking about a reframe as focusing on what you want, not what you don't want.
Exactly.
And again, you know, to say you got to think positive, in my practice, I like the first step to acknowledge that you feel it may not work, like to accept yourself. That's the authenticity and having compassion. So, because, you know, when we say think positive, there's a whole bunch of steps, I think, that I want to share with the listeners that happen around that. It's about having compassion for yourself. This is a big part of it. And so there's this thinking it's not going to work is probably what's happening is they fear it's not going to work, right?
Yes.
And some people will say it out loud because they want to. The fear of failure is, I don't want to have the disappointment, so I'm setting myself up. I don't think it's going to work. Like, it's almost a protective mechanism, don't you find? Like,
yeah.
To think this way. That way, when it happens, yeah, I knew it was going to happen, right? You know, you're almost like a protective mechanism. That's what I learned to observe. And a big part of this mind-body is to bring that compassion to self, right? Because we have such a negative self-talk. And becoming aware of this self-talk is the first part. And it doesn't mean judging your negative, like, oh, I'm an idiot for having negative self-talk. That's not what you're saying.
No, no.
Dr. Joan Rosenberg, she's a psychologist, and she says probably the biggest issue is our negative self-talk. And so step one, we talked about awareness, right? Presence, awareness. So noticing what you're thinking, and then with intention, changing the outcome. Like, why are you doing this? You know, because I want a baby. And what does the baby represent? So I just wanted to share that with our listeners, because it's not as simple as I'm going to think positively. If it were, you would be doing that, right? But because you have the programs, this is happening without you even consciously being aware of it. And the first step is to become aware of it. And as you said earlier, we get to choose how we respond, how we experience. That's the free will. And so how do you want to experience this? And for me, if I was in that situation doing an IUI, if I was that individual, my process would be first to accept and acknowledge that I'm afraid this is not going to work. I'm afraid it's going to fail. That's the first step. And that acceptance, I call it notice, accept, choose again. I have this process, and noticing that I'm afraid and I'm doing an IUI and I don't want to be doing an IUI. I want it to be natural. And then surrendering to, this is how I feel. And I have many tools I like to use in that accepting process. That's when the resistance lowers, when you're not fighting with reality, because the reality is, I'm here and I'm afraid it's not going to work. You feel the sense of relief you feel lighter. And that's when I call choose again. How do you want to feel? Which is what you talked about. Think positive, right? Well, I want a baby. Okay. Can you imagine what it'd be like if it did work? Yeah. Can you imagine what it'd be like? And then start to bring that experience up. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to unpack that a bit for our listeners, because it's not as simple as thinking positive. And there's a little bit of what they use the term spiritual bypass, where just going to think everything's positive. But what you said to me is so important, is our understanding is the subconscious can't do negative. So it's got to be what you want, what you don't, not what you don't want. Hence, you said you can't think of, don't think of a blue tree. Your subconscious can't do that, right? It's going to think of a blue tree. So the key is stating what you want in a positive, not in a negative.
Exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's an important thing. But have you found the compassion a key part? Because that's the part I think is so important in this work, is that this work requires a willingness to be uncomfortable, but self-compassion, self-love.
Absolutely. I think it's hard, because, and then sometimes you beat yourself up about it. How come I can't conceive, or why is this happening to me? And these tools help us with that, those difficult feelings. And I wish more of us would embrace this type of work.
And I see more and more of it. Like, I mean, it's in my awareness. So all the books I see, that's what they're on. Like, I can't believe how many books and podcasts and lectures and on YouTube are out there. It's out there, guys. So if you found our podcast today, thank you, because there's a lot out there. And summarizing to me what you've been talking about is you like an integrative, holistic approach. You have a team available for your patients if they're interested and they're able to choose these resources. You often will do some preconception where you're going over diet and lifestyle, you know, meditation, mind, body stuff. You have testing that you do for your patients. And then you have all these treatments, which would be, there's IUI. So all the stuff that you see at a, you know, the medicated IUIs and IVF cycles and donors, surrogacy. And in doing that, in the preconception care, and when they're doing these, you're inviting your patients to know about acupuncture, herbal.
Yes.
Supplements, hypnosis, and NLP and functional medicine.
Absolutely.
See, the reason we resonate, because that's what my clinic does. And then we work with the fertility clinic locally, so they get the IVF there, but we're doing that preconception and during all that process. And that holistic care is fascinating to me, and even to the IVF clinic. They can point out, you said how you can tell who's going to get pregnant or not, right? Sometimes with your patients. The clinics often have shared with me, the docs, that in the waiting area, they can tell who's been coming to our clinic at AccuBalance or not, just based on their demeanor and how they're sitting in the chairs, more of a relaxed state, right? Confidence breeds some relaxation. Confidence as in you've done everything you know you can. So it gives you a little bit of, you're still nervous about the outcome, but it gives you a little bit of hope and confidence when you know you've done a lot to get to this place.
Exactly.
And is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about this journey? Because, you know, you've been doing this for a while, you've experienced it, and you've got so many resources around you. I'm curious, and you've written a book about it. So again, it's called Embrace Your Fertility. It's available on Amazon, and it's also available on your website. And your website is drbelarak.com. So drbelarak.com. And we'll put that in the show notes, everybody, just so you can find this and learn more about Tamia's approach and finding stuff on her website where she's doing this integrative care.
So I'll just read you one of my sentences from the closing of the book. So the more I do what I do, the more I love it, and the more awe I feel. And the more we know about fertility, the more I realize with profound humility that there is much we don't know. A willingness to be humbled by the mystery of bringing life into the world seems part and parcel of my work as a fertility specialist.
Nice. I want to talk about the more we know, the more we don't know. I want to know what you mean by that a little bit more, and how that's the humbling, but also brings the beauty to this medicine where we really provide support to the individuals and then hope the body does what it needs to do, right? But can you talk a little bit about your thoughts around that line? Because that's, to me, I felt something when you said that, and I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Well, there's something profound beyond what we physically, even mentally, are aware of, I believe. Yeah. And so sometimes there are things that happen magically that you don't expect to necessarily happen. And so I believe that there's something more that is out there. And so I think that's what I meant.
That's how I interpreted, and that's been my experience, and that humbling experience as in, I don't know anymore. And through all of these podcasts and my clinical experience, seeing, you know, the magic, the miracle, seeing women conceive that on paper are not supposed to get pregnant. I see myself as a gardener, and they're the garden. And The Chinese proverb is nourish the soil before you plant the seed. So rather than me doing any of this now, like I'm doing this for you, I'm healing you. It's not at all. I'm your facilitator. And basically my role is I'm going to pull out the weeds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure there's water, make sure you get the right amount of sunlight, keep the soil, you know, the nutrients are there. And this includes from a mental, emotional part as well. And then the plant takes what it needs and does everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing nothing. I'm just creating an environment to support the soil so the plant can take what it needs. And then this mind-body part where you talk about there's something more than meets the eye, that's what I'm like, okay, there is something happening here that is beyond this 3D earthly Newtonian world. And this is where I'm interested in quantum studies or research and interested in this whole idea around consciousness and presence, present moment. You're tapping into something. All the speakers, researchers and guests, not speakers, but all the guests on here, for the most part, have said, when you get into full presence, when you're truly there and you know it, you feel it, you're tapping into something that where miracles happen.
Absolutely.
And I'm in awe now when I see these people do it, right? And I just show up and I hold the space basically, right? Like I said, I pull a few weeds, I may add a little water, but it's them having this inner transformation. I do a lot of conscious work while I'm having acupuncture and low-level laser therapy with my patients. So we're doing the hypnotherapy, conscious type work, and I'm watching them have those, their eyes, the breakthroughs, right? And the aha moments. And they're making these shifts and just seeing these profound shifts that they have. And then they're coming back with physical changes. Here's something that I wanted to ask you about. With this work that you do, the NLP, the mind body, and that you refer out, I always say there's one or two things. So I'm asking you, is this kind of like, yeah, this is same thing, or, and feel free to disagree as well, by the way. I say one of two things happens, sometimes both. The first thing, when you have a shift inside, when these programs change, these unconscious programs, and you have the shift inside, then your perception to the outer world changes. So you experience it differently.
Yes.
It seems like it's changed, but it's really, you've changed, so you experience it differently. Mm-hmm. And you're good with that. And that's kind of what you mentioned earlier about when there's a situation, you have choice how you're going to respond to it, how you're going to feel about it. The second thing I say is sometimes miracles happen and the external world changes. Like it literally changes. The paint was red, you wanted a blue, and now it's blue. How did that happen, right? Who came in and painted it? I didn't ask for it, right? And I have a great example where somebody I was working with, it was a challenging process for her on her journey, and she quickly made some internal shifts. It was just like she knew she changed, it shifted. She was in a different place, still wanting the baby, going through this journey. And then she said, "You're not going to believe this. My work today, when I saw her," this is what one of her appointments, "just announced that all IVF drugs, all IVF procedures, even surrogacy is now fully covered."
Wow.
Because they're worried about how they're going to do this. That based on their diagnosis and what happened, they were going to need IVF and surgery and maybe surrogacy. Like it was a major, oh my God, the world was turned upside down in a moment. And then within a month, she's doing her inner work and we're doing what we're doing. But she came and said, "This just happened at work." And I said, "See, isn't that cool?" Like I said, one or two things happened. You already had the shift. She already knew that she was going to find a way to have a baby. It's a journey. And she had a new attitude around it. She had her wake up call, as you said it. And she was already making those transformations. And then out of nowhere, the external world changed where work, she never asked for it. Just they made an announcement, "Hey, new medical plan, everything is covered." So that's, is that what you're seeing with your patients too? And in your own personal life, like the one or two things happen?
Yeah. I mean, at one time I had developed a herniated disc and medical doctors, it was one extreme to the other, like have surgery like now and blah, blah, blah. And then I went to see a chiropractor who was trained in German new medicine, but again, mind body connection. And as soon as I made the connection between what they believe lower back pain or herniation is about is being let down. Once you make the connection, the neurology in the body changes and the body heals itself.
Yeah. Dr. Joe Dispenza, I've done a few of his retreats. He calls it the biological upgrade, I think is what he calls it. You get a biological upgrade, right? And you said you've seen in your office, you can tell whether they may get pregnant or not, you know, just by kind of reading them in a certain way. There are women who have sat in my practice, and I've been doing this since 2000, so I don't have a lot, a handful on my hand, where on paper, they're not supposed to get pregnant based on their FSH, antral follicle count, based on their history of IVF. And I'm listening to their story and listening to what they're doing and how they're seeing it unfolding for themselves. And I'm like, this person's going to get pregnant and it's going to have nothing to do with any of my needles or my herbs or anything. I just could sense it from them. Right. Mm-hmm. And they did, like, and on paper, they really should not be getting pregnant. They were donor egg candidates. It didn't make sense. It's never impossible, but they weren't the probable cases. And for me, I want to study those people, the outliers. Like, people are like, they're outliers. Of course, there's always a case like this. You know, one of your colleagues be watching, go, that's nonsense. There's always outliers like that. Yes. I want to help people become more like the outliers. And that's what I think, as we kind of circle back and wrap up, is what you talked about in your last sentence, that there's more, the more you know, the more you don't know. And that don't know is being talked about a lot. We still don't know it. I don't know when we'll know it. However, the mind-body approach is a way to tap into this unknown. Mm-hmm. So without even knowing what this is, people are using these tools, what I call conscious work, your NLP style hypnosis, awareness, mindfulness tools. And for some reason, you're tapping into this unknown that seems to help create miracles often for people.
Exactly. Exactly. It's fascinating.
It keeps it interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tamia, thank you for joining us today. I mean, it's not very often that I get somebody who's a medical doctor, OBGYN, you did a master's as well, then an REI, and then has trained in NLP, hypnotherapy, and functional medicine. And it's so nice that you have that knowledge, because then it makes you a really good resource for referring out to your patients, because you know about so many different modalities, and then you have your practice. Your practice is located in Ontario. Where are you in Ontario?
In Maple, so north of Toronto, Major Mackenzie and Keele.
Great. And your website is femwellness.ca. That's in the show notes, but that's femwellness.ca. So that's how they can find you. And the title of your book is called Embrace Your Fertility.
Yes.
Any other places that you want people to try and find you, whether you have Twitter, Instagram, or just your...
Those are the two main places. I'm not very active on social media. I like to meet people in person and then kind of develop my rapport and kind of individualize their career that way. So I'm not too active on those other on those other social media.
So I got a few call to actions to our listeners here as we wrap up, things that you had said during our time together. One is, do go check out her website. Lots of great information there, and you can get a copy of Tamia's book. You talked about the diet as being important and the Mediterranean diet, and you mentioned that Harvard Nurses study. I do want to let our listeners know that on the AccuBalance website, we have a AccuBalance fertility diet with recipes based on the Nurses study. Basically, it's a low glycemic index, anti-inflammatory, mostly plant-based diet. So that's available for free, and it's nice that they have recipes. And then you talked earlier when we were sharing your journey about how intimacy became like baby making. So it became lost some of its fun. I do want to let our listeners know that Alexa Bowditch has an episode called Fertile Love, Navigating Intimacy and Connection While Trying to Conceive. She is a sex coach. And so we have a nice talk on that. And that episode was released on April 25th, 2023, if you want to listen to that. And again, do check out Tamia's website, femwellness.ca.
And just in closing, the proceeds from the book are going to Fertility Matters Canada. So my portion anyways.
Excellent. So Embrace Your Fertility book, when you purchase that book, they go to support a nonprofit called Fertility Matters Canada. So that's excellent as well. So thank you for sharing that too.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
If you're looking for support to grow your family, contact AccuBalance Wellness Center. At AccuBalance, they help you reach your peak fertility potential through their integrative approach, using low-level laser therapy, fertility acupuncture, and naturopathic medicine. Download the AccuBalance Fertility Diet and Dr. Brown's video for mastering manifestation and clearing subconscious blocks. Go to AccuBalance.ca, that's ACUBalance.ca.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women and men on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Lauren Brown Official. That's Instagram, Lauren Brown Official. Or you can visit my websites, laurenbrown.com and accubalance.ca. Until the next episode, stay curious, and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.